Once upon a time, there was an emperor who was touring his domain and going from village to village, town to town. And as his entourage would meet the people in the market square, he would be surrounded by the villagers and peasants. And one day, a farmer came forward, a young man, who asked of the emperor, "Give me something that will benefit me." "Sire," he said, "give me a special blessing." And the emperor said to this young man, "Lad, come up into my carriage and come to my home and become part of my household. Indeed, I'll even give you my daughter in marriage and you will become my son-in-law." And at first this young man thought to himself, "That's amazing." But then he thought and reasoned, "Wait a second, that means I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to get dressed up. I might even have to have a bath once a week. I'm going to have to learn the manners of the court." And so sadly, he said to the emperor, he said, "Sire, no. I would be too uncomfortable. It would pull me out of my comfortable customs. It would be too hard to live up to. It would take far too much and ask too much of me. Now, sire, if you wanted to do something for me, would you please just give me a piece of land, a farm that I could till, a house of my own? Oh, but to live at your table, to live in your palace, to be your son-in-law. No, that is too much, and I think I will decline." You see that this young man, he wanted the emperor's blessings, but he wanted them on his own terms. He wanted the blessing, but he wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to be blessed where he was, but he did not want to move out of his comfortable customs. He wanted the blessing, but he did not want the responsibility that accompanied the blessing. And that is the heart of today's teaching in the gospel, one of perhaps the most difficult passages in Luke's gospel. But when we hear these parables, we have to appreciate that Jesus uses exaggerated speech in order to make a point, because he wants us to hear him. And at the heart of this reading is the understanding that those to whom much has been given, much will be required. Jesus wants us to understand that we are to live each day with an awareness that every day has been given to us, not to do what we want to do, but to do what generosity calls us to. For you see, in this parable, there is an understanding and a perception, and we are called to live in such a way that if we understand the generosity of our God, that in turn it will make us generous people. And Jesus teaches here what's called the principle of reciprocity. What does that mean? Those who live generously in this life will, in the life to come, know the generosity of God. Those who in this life live cruelly in their treatment of others will receive a reciprocal treatment in the world where all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus says something else, that the degree of our responsibility or our culpability is proportional to what we know of the master's expectations. This is what Paul was getting at in that first reading from Romans, where he says we are choosing to live one of two ways. We are either instruments of sin that leads to death, or we are instruments of righteousness that leads to life. And Paul says something very interesting. He says those who are instruments of sin live in such a way that they just obey their passions. Like the manager who beat the other slaves and lived a careless, drunken, self-centered life. To be, as Paul says, instruments of righteousness means that you and I want to be like the wise, prudent manager. Now remember prudence. It's one of the four cardinal virtues. Remember the word cardinal? comes from the word cardus, which means hinge. And the virtue of prudence is the key of the four cardinal virtues. They are the hinge on which all of the other virtues are established. And so the prudent person is the prudent person who's choosing to live each day with a certain goal in mind. And the prudent manager is that man or woman who is learning to live a life of good works, a life of generosity, because we understand that at the end, we truly do want to be welcomed into the King's household, and we want to delight in every opportunity that you and I are given each day to grow in living faith-filled lives, where, as our collect so beautifully articulated today, we pray, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your Son, we may abound in good works. Isn't that a great phrase? To abound in good works. The young man at the beginning of my homily just wanted to live his life on his terms and do what he wanted to. Those who are discovering what it is to be instruments of righteousness, those who are learning to live lives prudently, desire to be men and women of incredible generosity, because each and every day we are saying, yes, Lord, help me to abound in good works, and so reflect in my life that I am indeed a member of your household. I am your son, your daughter. I belong.